Today's scripture reading is taken from John chapter 2, verses 13 through 22. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went to Jerusalem. In the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. So ends the reading.
There are many ways that we can look at this story. Lots of different commentaries have takes on what was going on here. But I'd like to look at it from the social injustice aspect. See, I don't think it was just the money or the vendors that angered Jesus. It was the injustice of the system that had been set in place that allowed this to be. My son recently spent 3 weeks in Europe. He spent more time in those 3 weeks in church than he has probably in the last 25 years of his life. He and his companions saw the Sagrada Familia Basilica in Barcelona, a church that's been under construction since 1882 and is not slated to be finished until probably about 2020. The tour cost him $16. He went to the Vatican and saw the Sistine Chapel, $34. He went to the Capuchin Crypt and the chapel that he said was just breathtaking, $71. Pretty steep price for one person. He and his traveling companion visited several minor churches as well, and he was awed by some of them. He was kind of puzzled by others. And in one of them, he turned to Sarah and he said, "This is how a church is supposed to make you feel. The architecture and the light streaming in through the windows made him stop and pause and realize that there is something bigger and grander than himself." He told me that in the Vatican, they mint their own money. Euro coins, but they've got the face of the Pope on them. And outside of the Vatican, you can buy one of those 1 euro coins for 30 euro. Now, my son is pretty crafty, and he thought, "I'm not paying 30 euro. He waited till he got inside, and he said to some lady, "Can I get one of them coins?" She said, "Well, sure." He said, "Well, how much are they?" She said, "Well, I've got a roll of them. How many do you want?" He said, "Well, I'll take them all. Here's 5 euro. So he came home with souvenirs for his friends. In one church, they walked past several vendors selling LED candles so that you could light them, tables with jewelry and postcards and other items for sale at just ridiculous prices. And this kid who hasn't been in church in 25 years turned to Sarah and said, "I wonder if they'd get my point if I started tipping over the tables." If you knew Chris, you'd understand why Sarah went, "Don't you dare." But even he got that there was something wrong with a system that allowed people to make money inside the church like that. Yet when you walked outside, there were people begging in the streets. So I think it wasn't the idea of a temple tax or the sacrifices that drove Jesus to fashion a whip, or to tip over the tables, to drive out the sellers of the cattle and the doves and the money changers. It was a system set up to oppress the poor. It drove Jesus to take action that day. Now, a lot of the commentaries focus on Jesus' anger. Oh, look how human he was that day. Others say that he was protesting the sacrifice. But Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan and Reza Aslan, all modern theologians, say differently. In their book called The Last Week, Borg and Crossan stress that Jesus consistently and primarily talked about the coming of the kingdom of God, and that that was going to challenge the domination system, the Romans and their local collaborators, who were actually the Jewish ruling class, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the scribes. And the ruling class had their base of operation in the temple. It was a Jewish temple, all right, but the Romans called the shots. They picked out the priests, which was something I didn't know. They had guards that kept an eye on activities and everything that happened inside the temple walls. They had a great system that was set up, profitable to the Roman government. And the temple was actually, in a lot of ways, the national bank. Vast amounts of money were stored in the temple, but the money didn't just sit there. It was loaned out to the common man at exorbitant interest rates. One more way to keep the little guy down. Matter of fact, the Jewish historian Josephus wrote an account of the burning of all of these tally sheets at one point in time, the thought being they probably didn't want it out how much money they really were extracting from the poor. So Jesus' attack on the money changers and the bird sellers was more than an attack on simple tradesmen just trying to make a living. It was less about him being angry that the temple was being defiled. It was more about attacking that power structure. With the Roman government having control over the temple and the money and how it was collected, controlling who the priests were. As a matter of fact, when I was doing the research, I found several diagrams of the temple, and in one corner of the temple was this large brick building attached right to the wall. This was where the barracks of the Roman soldiers were. A garrison of about 600 soldiers lived on the temple wall. And they took possession of all of the high priest's robes and garments and only doled them out on the high holy days. One more way for them to keep control of what was going on. In a blog on Huffington Post, Marcus Cicera states, Jesus' teaching was mostly and consistently about social justice, strongly opposing the domination system of the time and probably any system that created an elite and powerful class. Jesus was a social revolutionary, a radical. He wanted to change the status quo, and that, of course, ended up getting him into an awful lot of trouble. During this time of Lent, we know that we're marching slowly with Jesus toward the cross. And this act in the temple is one of the main reasons that the authorities said, we've got a reason to arrest him. He's upset the balance, he's tipped things over, and he's messing with our system. He was in trouble not so much because he was God, but because he was a mischief maker who happened to have a following. So along with all of these scholars, I wonder, was Jesus pointing back in time to a passage in Zechariah where the day of the Lord sees an end to the merchants in the temple? Yet at the same time, was Jesus pointing forward to where we sit today, talking about how we might make a difference in the systems that oppress people today? From Zechariah 14, on that day, holy to the Lord will be inscribed on the bells of the horses, and the cooking pots in the Lord's house will be like the sacred bowls in the front of the altar. Every pot in Jerusalem and Judah will be holy to the Lord Almighty, and all who come will take some of the pots and cook in them. And on that day there will no longer be a merchant in the house of the Lord. I think the prophet was saying that there's going to come a time and a day when the playing field gets leveled. Not only will the pots and the vessels be holy, but they'll be available to everyone. No one will have to pay a tax or be separated in an outer court of the Gentiles or the court of the women. All will be welcome as equals in the house of the Lord. So Jesus isn't condemning the temple or the sacrificial system. He's looking forward to a coming time when the temple will ultimately be purified, when all of Jerusalem and Judah and us will be holy to the Lord. The object of Jesus' action that day was the temple authority, which condoned and profited from the economic activity. And where do we see this today? Just this week, the Justice Department put out a report that not only in Ferguson, Missouri, but in towns all across America, we have a system of criminal justice that isn't very just. All across America, police are stopping, detaining, and offering citations to people of color in a disproportionate level. And the courts in those same areas are jailing people, these same day detainees, and fining them because they can't pay their traffic ticket. And if they can't pay that fine, they get thrown in jail. The local municipalities seem to be condoning this system of injustice. They only layer more fines on more fines. A system of injustice didn't happen just years ago when Jesus walked into the temple. It's with us today. An economic business that many of us have in our cities, and I believe there are some of them in Cadillac, are payday loan places. Something we might think of as a legitimate business. They charge an exorbitant amount of interest for people who need instant cash. Much as the temple system charged those same interest rates. Wall Street and the 1% today get rich, while the 99%, which I have a feeling is most of us in this room, struggle to make ends meet. So the system hasn't really changed much since the first century days of Jesus, when he took the time to fashion a whip of cords. And he thought about it before he took the first swing. So I think we should take some time to think about it. How can we make a difference in the systems today that oppress the voiceless and the powerless, the disenfranchised? Those of us who reside in the 99%, those who need someone to speak up for them. If we simply interpret the cleansing of the temple story in the traditional matter that Jesus was angry, all you have is a critique of defiling a holy place of worship, a physical structure made of stone. And I think that assumption somehow lessens who God is, that the source of the universe is offended by a few businessmen. I think God is offended by a lot more than that. However, if we take the time to interpret the story from the standpoint that we should be opposing the system of domination by a small elite class, Wall Street and the 1%, or today's Rome, we should be working toward establishing the kingdom of God here on earth. We're called to transform our world by seeking justice. We're called to help bring about a fair distribution of the resources that God has loaned to us. This was radical thought in Jesus' time. It's radical still to think that justice means all of God's beloved have enough. Enough food, enough warmth, safety, dignity, employment, and a place to call home. But it is what the gospel, it is what our good news calls us to do and to be. From Micah, God has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. May we all look for ways this week and always to make today's system a just and merciful one. Speak out when you see someone being oppressed. Fashion a whip if you need to. Turn over the tables. Go boldly, because our God goes with you. And may it be so.